This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com.
Gamers Podcast.
This is episode 89, and that should excite all of you because it means that you are not spending the next half hour or whatever with just us. It's episode 89, so we have a guest. Hopefully you like us, but we have a guest this week. As always, I am your host, Andrew, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Anitra.
That's me.
And we have a special guest on the show. This week, we have on the show our friend Jay Peek. How are you doing today, Jay?
I am very good, thank you.
So, Jay is a guy who is of particular interest to me because I like to work with my hands. I like to do woodworking. I don't like to fix the house, but I can fix the house.
Sometimes you like it. It feels satisfying when you're done.
When I'm done.
And you're done.
And so that was one of the reasons why I was really drawn to a lot of the stuff that Jay does. So Jay is a contributor to the Dice Tower Network just like we are. And he does a segment on Throat Punch Lunch, which is a video that they release weekly. I don't even know what the cadence is. Do you know,
Jay? That's bi-weekly.
It's bi-weekly? Bi-weekly. Okay. And Jay's got a segment on there called 15 Pieces of Flair. Now, we are respecting copyright, so we're not going to talk about where that comes from. But if you Google search 15 Pieces of Flair and you don't come up with Jay Peek, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about Jay's videos on Throat Punch Lunch. So, Jay, why don't you talk a little bit about what 15 Pieces of Flair is and what kind of things you talk about and show on the segment?
Well, I would like to say that if you do search me on or search 15 Pieces of Flair on Google, I'm actually pretty high up on the list of the results. So,
oh, sweet!
You'll see both, but definitely the first few is going to be the source of the title.
Source material, yes.
Yeah. But what I do is I make decorations for your game room. I show you different ways to spruce it up, anything from making a large-scale wall piece or something easy like putting a skull fish ornament on top of a faux book. I try to get a good range of stuff in between there to make everybody feel like they can do something.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I saw the mind-blowing blue square from Concordia. We watched that video today.
Yeah, I had the same guy every time I'd ask, what's something that you'd like me to make? I think his name was Michael Vinoy. He would always say, Concordia. And I'm like, I have no clue how to do anything for that game. So I tried to... That piece of cloth really stood out to me as something kind of cheesy and really lazy design, so I thought that would be a good way to give homage to that game.
I actually really liked how you were completely straight on the whole build process until the end when you're like, yeah, it's just a blue square.
Yeah.
Well, a quick shout out to another Dice Tower Network podcast, Flip Flory's Super Saturday Board Game Serial. When they had a live recording at Granite Game Summit, he gave out action figures, which were just 6-inch cubes that had been painted one of the standard like 5 or 6 colors.
I didn't know he gave them out as action figures.
Yes.
Can you get them on his Etsy shop?
I don't think so.
It's so, like Lords of Waterdeep action figures. Like,
yeah.
You get one, and that's supposed to be a warrior or something.
Yeah, they were special, you know, Flip Flories. Super Saturday,
yeah,
action figures,
yeah, TM. I think like Broken Token or one of those sites, the Bling Out Your Board Game sites has D&D Deeples. Is that what they call them? which are the Lords of Waterdeep icons or something like that, as meeples.
Meeple-ified.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's so much stuff. I mean, so I'll ask you this question. When you look at some of the companies out there, like Meeple Realty or like Broken Token or like these companies that are blinging out your board games, I mean, a lot of your stuff is awesome board game decor related things. Do you ever get into like the board game bling kind of thing?
No, that stuff's too small for me. I'm way too reckless, I think, to be that meticulous.
I suffer from a lack of patience myself, so
yeah,
fair.
So we watched a couple of videos today, and I've seen some of your stuff in the past. I mentioned the Blue Cube. You had a neat video on basically making a picture frame, which was super. Like, that's the easiest super picture frame accessible. I've ever seen. Yeah. Be built for a map or something like that. What do you think your favorite piece that you've ever made is, and do you have a how-to on your I guess Throw Punch Lunch for
or
that
on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, or on your YouTube channel.
Oh yeah, my favorite piece was the Blood Rage. I did a Blood Rage one. I took the guy from the box art. It's actually sitting next to me on my wall. One of the few pieces I've made that I've actually mounted, but it's about 2 feet wide by 3.5 feet tall. Wow. And it's got the guy on the box art for Blood Rage. I did a fire, like I YouTubed how to do a fire spray paint effect, which is really easy, but I mean, it turned out really great. And that's every time I ask what's my favorite piece you've made on my Facebook page, everybody always says that Blood Rage one. It really is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So let's see. So you mentioned your Facebook page. Where can people find you on Facebook if you talk about the stuff there?
Yeah. Pique Your Interest, and it's spelled P-E-A-K because that's my name. I understand that's not how you're supposed to spell it for anybody who's going to mention that. It's P-E-A-K, Your Interest. But yep, you'll find me there.
Cool. So let's see. Okay. I need to ask this question. I was going to wait until later to ask this question, but Anitra keeps pulling up sample videos, and I keep seeing it in the background, so I'm going to ask you now. In your videos, you're standing, like, in the corner of your game room, and you have a shelf, and on that shelf is a bunch of games.
Yep.
However, under that shelf is also a bunch of games.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about this, because there's no shelf supporting said games from underneath, which means that obviously you've, like, stuck them to the bottom of the shelf or something like that. But, like, it would blow my mind if you're destroying all those boxes merely for the sake of making a cool effect, which it certainly is cool. So I have to ask you how you're doing that.
Yeah, I spent, 3 years in Hogwarts? That's just a simple Wingardium Leviosa spell. No, I did a video of that too. It's just 1-inch elastic bands, and you just stretch them out, staple them to the bottom, and your games slide right in and out.
Ah, clever.
That is not dumb. I was thinking you were doing something with like rare earth magnets or something. I couldn't figure it out.
I think I've seen a similar video on how to do that as a bookshelf.
Okay.
So, yep, yeah. That's exactly where I got that from. My wife, we were sitting on the couch one night. My wife showed it to me, and she's like, "You could do this with your games." I'm like, "Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too." So I just saw that, probably one of the same videos going around Facebook or Twitter or whatever that you
like
probably
they do.
Saw.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Wow. Cool.
That's really cool, though.
I'm just watching the video, like, because obviously it's not the focus of the video; it's in the background, and so I'm just kind of watching this thing. And I was like, wait a minute, what the heck is going on with those games? So yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll post a picture. It's just supposed to be like me and my son playing a game on Facebook or whatever. And mm-hmm. It's like almost guaranteed somebody will be like, how are those games hanging there?
Yeah, I can't deal with it. It's messing with
my
head.
It does mess with your head.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about gaming with your son. So this is the Family Gamers. You game yeah. with your family. Sometimes you do it as a podcast or a video podcast.
I do video. Yeah, me and him. It's called Under There Gaming, and we just play games. Ask him what he thinks, and we be silly the whole time, and it makes for pretty funny videos for us.
Excellent. And if it's not already obvious, you have a, I'm going to guess, like, 7 or 8 year old son, which is why it's under their gaming, because when you're a boy that age, underwear is always funny.
Hey, I'm 28. I think that's funny. But yeah. Yeah. He's 6. He just turned 6 in November. I got a 3-year-old boy and a 11-month-old daughter.
Oh boy.
Oh wow.
See, you're in the same boat we were a couple years ago, so
yeah.
So, okay, so we're talking about family gaming. So what does a family game night look like in the Peak household? What are some of your favorite games to play, just generically?
Oh, wow. Usually nowadays, my oldest son's asking to play Drop Mix, Animal Upon Animal, Ice Cool, The Labyrinth, Lupin Chewy, Push a Monster. Those are the ones that come to mind, but...
Cool. Cool.
It's usually The Labyrinth, though, or Drop Mix.
So if you were to make a recommendation to all of the parents out here, to say, this is the game that your children are really going to want to play, and it's the one that either you will enjoy playing with them the most, or at least, at the very minimum, you'll the one that the you least. Will despise the least playing with your kids, which one would it be?
I mean, they all kind of get old, especially the ones for the younger kids. But I think the one that's had the most staying power is Ice Cool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cool, yeah,
interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah, we don't have Ice Cool, but Anitra and our middle child, Asher, went to a con like a month ago or so, and he tried it out, and he was in love with it, and Anitra thought it was just kind of... Just okay?
I mean, I had fun, and I wouldn't mind playing it again, but I was kind of like, that was cute, and let's do something else now. And he's like, let's play it again!
Yeah.
And then the next convention we went to, he's like, oh, they have Ice Cool! I want to go play!
Yeah, so he...
Every time.
Yeah, he was a huge fan of that game. I think it's just how kids are, right? They just play something to death, and adults want to walk away after a little while.
Pretty much.
I think it might have a lot of appeal to us, though, because we played Crokinole growing up a lot. And
mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
I'm showing my Canadian here a little bit, but we played that game all the time. And I don't know, it's just like whenever I explained Ice Cool to my mom, she's like, oh, it's like Crokinole with penguins. So I think that
might be part
of the appeal for us.
Maybe. That might be it. So not only do you make stuff and put it on the internet for us to learn how to make it through YouTube or through a Punch Lunch or Facebook or wherever, but you also just make stuff and make it available to people to purchase on Etsy.
Yeah, everything I make, well, I was doing very good at posting everything I make on there, but I don't know. I haven't been so good at it lately. But yeah, most of the stuff I make, it just sits on a shelf and I usually give it away or try to sell it on Etsy or whatever, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. So that is etsy.com/shop/jpeakyourinterest. And that's the same PEAK. And there's a link to Jay's Etsy shop page in the show notes for the show. So you can find it there. So if you are interested in watching some videos, watch something and say, forget this, I'm not going to do this, you could just head over to his Etsy page and you can order something.
Ask him to make it for you.
Yeah, just ask him to make it for you.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Well, one last thing. Since it's going to come up when people watch your videos, your Instagram and Twitter handle is Half Handicapped. Would you like to explain why that's your other handle besides JPeak Your Interest?
Yeah. Well, it's mostly because Peak Your Interest is common for people to take, but I use that because I'm blind in one eye, and that's pretty much it. It's pretty obvious, too. It's like you watch a video and you'll notice it, but yeah.
All right, well... One thing that we wanted to do, because we were coming into the show and we knew we were going to talk about 15 pieces of flair and making things to make your game room look pretty, was that we thought we would talk about some really pretty games. And when we were looking at our game shelf and thinking about games that we thought were really nice looking, we thought that we would pick games that not only looked great, but also that if you took away the prettiness of the game, it would have a significant, like, it would detract significantly from the game experience. And so that's what we chose for our games. I think there's some other ones, like Dixit's not on our list, even though that would,
right,
that would
even
qualify
that is
as
a really
well.
Pretty game. Yeah.
But yeah, so Jay, so you've got three games, and the two of us together, we have three games. And we thought that we might just go back and forth and talk about ours are in no particular order. But we thought we would talk about, so if people are listening and they just really want a game that looks great, this will provide some options. How's that sound?
Yeah.
All right, awesome.
That sounds
great. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, especially since I actually got four.
Oh, what a cheater. Right. Now we have to change the name of the show.
Seven.
Oh, really?
Well,
I'll just say what's it called where it's like just out. I don't even know.
Runner up.
Wild card,
like that.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's fine. We'll do seven.
We got seven.
All right.
All right. That's fine.
All right.
So give us number four.
All right, number four. Well, since you already mentioned it, I'm gonna say Dixit. And for anybody who hasn't played it, it's like tons of different cards with tons of different card art on it. The art, I feel, is what makes the game. If you just have basic art on there, if you just have everything basic, the game I don't think would be as great. But I feel like Dixit, the art makes the gameplay in that. And the artist for the version I have is Mary Cardwat. I'm not sure exactly how to say her name, but she did great on that.
Right. So ironically, we actually have one of our newest writers is doing a lot of classic reviews, and the review that is coming out the same day this podcast comes out is for Dixit. So,
we promise we did not pay Jay.
Yes, we didn't slide that to him under the table and say, don't forget to mention this one first. This isn't his fourth one. No.
There will be a link to that review
in
the description of this podcast, though. So
yes,
make sure
there
you
will.
Check that out.
That is definitely true. Yeah, head over to thefamilygamers.com to find that there. So, okay, awesome. So that's hysterical that Dixit was right there. Let's see, you want to go right with this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one, our number three formally, is The Grim Forest from Druid City Games. This is a game that I think we've talked about a lot on the show. We never did release a formal review for it, but it's just beautiful. Like, it's one of those games that a lot of people say is over-engineered just because there's so much.
Yeah.
Every single piece of art for this is extremely well done. I mean, the game tray insert for this game is well done. The minis, the sculptures on the minis are just gorgeous. Yeah. It's just super, super pretty.
All the artwork is great. All the different characters on the cards.
Yeah, it's kind of a
play mats. Everything is just pretty and themed really well, so you feel like you're in a fairy tale.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a resource management-ish, take that kind of game, sort of.
Yeah, I would say mostly resource management.
Yeah, it's fairly light. It's a good family game, and it's like we said, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's one of two games, three games that we have shelved face out, so you can see the whole cover of the game because it's just that pretty. So,
yeah,
that is The Grim Forest from Druid City.
I thought the layout even of the cards on that game was just brilliant. It's because you have like that smoky, foggy look. And the first time I saw that like a year ago. I just like, wow, why do not more publishers do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just awesome. And I mean, it's so thematic. I mean, I'm kind of a theme guy, I guess. Like, there's a great debate about mechanics versus theme, and I guess I'm a theme guy. I just like
you,
them.
You definitely are.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
so,
I say that as someone who prefers abstract games.
Right,
so
right. Tell me about
like
it.
You like games that are heavily themed, and I prefer
it. I mean, if you release a Legend of Zelda game, I will buy it the day it comes out. That's
no matter how good or bad
like,
it is.
It doesn't matter how bad it is. I will. Maybe I'll turn it into art on the walls. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call up Jay and be like, you got to help me. I can't play this thing, but I want to look at it.
Have you tried Tiny Epic Quest? I hear that's like almost like that.
Yeah,
you are not the first person to tell
us. You know,
us that, I think
I played a Tiny Epic game at one point. It just wasn't a good gaming experience. I just can't get my hackles up to play another Tiny Epic game. I just can't do it. I don't know why.
We need to try it again. You'll
sure.
do better next time.
Sure, whatever.
I've heard it's not one of the better ones, though. It's not. I heard it's not as good as Galaxies.
All right.
Well, we'll see.
We'll give it another try.
But maybe. You can get a boomerang in there, and I'm pretty sure you can get, like, a bomb or something, too, like in Zelda. Like, it seems like it's just Zelda but they couldn't get the IP for it or something.
Well, you're never gonna. Well, actually, I guess they did Super Mario Level Up, so like USAopoly got the IP, and I think they
There's
did a Zelda Monopoly and a Zelda Clue.
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever. Who knows? I mean, I have the crest. I have the Hylian shield in my office. Like, I have problems.
I think I've seen that before. I think I've seen you post a picture or something about that before, and I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I have. It's really an unfortunate obsession that I have.
You have several pieces of Zelda artwork in your
I prefer to call them
office.
Zelda Flair. Thank you.
Well, the Hylian shield, I think, would definitely count as Flair, because it's a plastic shield with straps on the back that we bought for our son's
birthday. All right. Okay. So, Jay, what's your next game?
All right, so I've already referred to this game earlier in the podcast, but I feel like this game, the art, brings in a better diversity of people, because really at core, it's just a Euro game, and we're talking about Blood Rage here and the art from Adrian Smith. It's Blood Rage. The game is basically just a Euro game if you just look down to it, but once you add those awesome miniatures, the awesome art, everything like that, it makes it feel like an Ameritrash game. So that's definitely stands out to me as a game that's really, it's just a Euro, and you add the art to it, and it makes it a crossover Ameritrash Euro game.
Mm-hmm. And is that Simon?
Yes.
Yeah, because I've played Rising Sun, which is kind of similar in generic structure, I think, to Blood Rage. I think people have made that comparison in a lot of ways. And I mean, Rising Sun is absolutely gorgeous, right? I mean, that's a beautiful game.
We didn't pick that for our list.
No, we didn't. But it's an honorary, you know,
on our radar,
honorary mention, I suppose.
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I think Blood Rage is more more needs the art to bring more people to the game. That's what I was thinking with those
okay.
two.
All
right.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. I mean, there are definitely, like, in Rising Sun, a lot of the, like, the hidden wager mechanic with the war in Rising Sun is really unique. So yeah, I haven't played Blood Rage. So if it's more vanilla Euro, I guess, than Rising Sun is, then I definitely am picking up what you're putting down there.
Yep.
Well, I'll take the reins on this next one. The next game on our list is all about art. It is Bob Ross, The Art of Chill. So this game, it's honestly a very vanilla. It's not even really a set collection game. I don't know what you.
No,
would
it
kind
of is a set collection game.
Is.
Yeah, it's a set collection game.
But the mechanics of it are very vanilla. But the theme and the fact that they actually use Bob Ross's artwork all through the game itself. Brings the whole thing to life. It's really fantastic. The idea is you're painting a painting along with Bob.
Right, and you have to paint it faster than him, basically.
If you paint it faster than him, you get bonuses.
Have you played this game, Jay?
I have not. It was like everybody was going bonkers over it, and I was like, I didn't even care for Bob Ross when I was
growing up. That's the thing. Like, you have to have the soft spot in your heart for Bob Ross to like the game's fine. Like, I think anybody will play it, and they might say, you know, this isn't really deep enough for me or whatever. But if you've got that soft spot in your heart for Bob, like, when we have some friends, and when we get their kids and our kids together, it gets a little crazy. And so we have on multiple occasions used Bob Ross on Netflix to calm our kids down. Right? He's just so, like, it is impossible to be excited when Bob Ross is on. And, right. You know, and so the game, like, when you're playing the color cards, it uses all of the all of the Bob Ross colors, I guess. You know, like platinum white and Fatalo blue and all that crazy stuff.
And a bunch of quotes and...
Oh, it's just if you appreciate, if you have that soft spot, like, people have a soft spot for, like, Mr. Rogers or whoever it is. If you've got that soft spot for Bob Ross, it's a must-own game. And it's like $25. It's not an expensive game.
Yeah.
But yeah, every single, like, the entire gameplay experience is all wrapped around Bob Ross paintings.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you really need the art for this game to make any sense. And it's pretty to boot. So
yeah.
That's one of the other games we have face displayed on our gaming Galax.
to freak people out with the it's Bob Ross's head superimposed over one of his paintings.
Right, so his hair is basically one of his paintings.
Like
it's very weird looking.
Very strange.
But that's our happy little selection number two.
Aw.
There you go. All right, and I'm gonna go with a pretty simplistic approach to this last one. And my last pick is gonna be Codenames Pictures. And if you haven't seen any of these cards, they are crazy. It's like a T-Rex riding a tiny bike, or like giant elephants sitting down with like two small elephants, like, and they're doing weird stuff. But it's like the only game that I've played where I've wanted to high-res scan the images and just put the random art on my wall.
Mm.
Those are really cool. Yeah, I can definitely see that. Like, it'd be really neat to have a bunch of these almost done on coasters.
Yeah.
Oh, those are really cool.
Or, like, vinyl cutouts for your car.
Yeah.
People like, why is there a gorilla wearing a backpack listening to Dre Beats on that?
Yeah. The questions that only one person can answer. I like that. Yeah, these are some pretty wacky pictures. I mean, we've played a game, like we did a review for a game called Macroscope, and the pictures in that were pretty weird too. But these are actually good wacky. We didn't really like the Macroscope things at all.
Well, the Macroscope pictures were designed to be hard to guess, which is part of what made them weird and wacky. These are not so much designed to be hard to guess as so much as hard to describe.
I like this one right here that I'm looking at right now. It looks like it's a love seat that's about to be fired off a slingshot. That's pretty cool. these are really funny. Yeah, they really, really
are. Have you guys not seen them yet?
No, we have regular vanilla straight up Codenames, and we have Codenames Disney, but we do not have Codenames Pictures. Now, Codenames Disney has pictures on one side and words on the other side. So there's a little bit of that picture thing there, but these are super weird.
But that's all Disney art, right. So it's fairly standardized.
Right. Awesome. So that's Codename Pictures.
That's some cool art in Codename Pictures.
So our last game, and then you have another one afterwards, right? Because you have four and we have three. So our last game is... from a gameplay perspective, it's a little bit more up in Itra's alley, I think. Tell you what, when you are done playing and you look down at the table, that completed Sagrada board is really, really pretty. So Sagrada is a game. It's a game with dice.
Yep.
It's a dice placement game
dice
where you are basically a drafting placement game where you're building a stained glass window.
Yep.
And so all of the dice are, so first of all, you've got a stained glass peak on your little placement board, and all of the dice are translucent and all different colors. And so when you build this thing out, it just looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody's got their own. And so there's a lot of restriction. So if you've played Role Player, you made this analogy earlier. I'm a Role Player fanatic. I love that game to death. It's a lot of the same things where you're trying to place colors in certain places and numbers in other places. And there's a couple things that you can do that allow you to adjust them. Very similar from a mechanics perspective. Clearly a different game.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of similarities. And I will say, as much as I love Role Player, which I think this is well established, Sagrada is more beautiful.
Sagrada is definitely prettier. And I don't just say this because I prefer Sagrada. I like Role Player, but I prefer Sagrada. And part of the reason is because I find it easier to kind of manage the restraints, because they're all out there right on the board where your dice are in Sagrada, whereas with Role Player I have to keep kind of looking back and forth, be like, okay, how many do I need in this row? How many do I need in this row? Where did I need what colors? And so it's a little
so like because everything's basically under the board or
basically
on the board. I see. Okay.
Under your dice, which you can see through.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So that's Sagrada.
Yes.
That's our last
Sagrada
one.
Sagrada is one of the few games that when I saw it, it just instantly made me think of making something for it on my 15 pieces of flair segments. Mm-hmm. That game is amazingly beautiful.
It really is.
All right. So my last one is a kicker, because I've never actually played the game, but it's the only game that when anybody on Facebook groups or whatever asks, like, what game has the best art? It's always, my answer is always Grimslingers. Like I said, I've never played the game, so I didn't feel right choosing it. But that game, the art in that game is just is amazing. I've never seen anything so realistic and fantasy mixed together, and the art's from Stephen Gibson. It's something to see. It's like, I'd love to get some prints for that game just to hang them, but...
Yeah, we're pulling it up on Board Game Geek right now, and you're right. Like, the art definitely looks very suitable to prints. Like, that's like P-R-I-N-T-S. it's really cool. Gosh, I don't even know how I would explain a lot of it. It's sort of a dark Western, but combined with
apocalyptic.
Yeah, but combined with fantasy, like.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique art. I've never seen anything like it. There's like a half a dinosaur, half antelope thing.
That's exactly what we're looking at. Yep.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is some whacked out stuff. wow, that's really cool, and that's from Greenbrier Games. So they did Z-Pocalypse Heavy Steel, Heavy Metal. What is the name of that game? I don't recall. but they're actually about 20 minutes away from us. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're really close to us. That is, I mean, I would say to just about anybody out there, check it, just Google Grimslingers or go to Board Game Geek and put in Grimslingers. It doesn't really look like it's art that is for a family friendly game, but it's not like inappropriate. Oh, no. It's just
dark,
kind of dark. So yeah, it's really cool looking art.
It hasn't gotten great reviews for gameplay and stuff. And every time I mention it, they're like, "You're not missing anything by not playing this game." I don't care. I want that poster.
Right.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's a whole bunch of really good-looking games for our listeners. So we've got Dixit, The Grim Forest, Blood Rage, Bob Ross, The Art of Chill, Codename Pictures, Sagrada, and Grimslingers from Greenbrier Games. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of art.
Yeah. And interestingly, although we were going for the prettiest games and the best art, that encompasses seven different styles of art.
Yeah, they're all very, very different.
None of them are like the others. So right. That's pretty fantastic.
Do you have a favorite artist? Like, is there an artist that if you see them making a game, you're excited to check it out and see what it's going to be like?
You know, I don't think so. I think they all bring such a unique thing to the table that none of them really get me excited about anything. I mean, Adrian Smith produces a lot of art for CMON games, and they always have great art, but it's that he has like a cartoony feel, and then Stephen Gibson for this Grimslingers game, which is my favorite art for any game, is totally different than that. And then I like the simplistic things like in Codenames Pictures, like I was talking about, and I think they all bring a different value to the table.
Right.
But no one person really gets me more excited than another.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I have a few different artists that I really, really enjoy their work, and they're not all the same either. So, like, I love Beth Sobel's work. I think she does nature and just incredibly well, and it's almost everything she does is so calming and serene looking. But on the flip side, I think of games like The Grim Forest and basically anything that I've seen Mr. Cuddington do. I mean, their stuff it's got this... It's kind of cartoony, but it's got this kind of like
fantastical.
Fantastic, but it's like this aesthetic edge to it that I don't know how to describe it, but I really like it. Like when I think of their art, I think of like Snow White's smirk. You know what I mean? It's there's something. It's not like this innocent little thing. It's smart. Like it's cartoony, but it's smart. I don't know how. I'm doing a bad job of explaining myself. I can tell by the look on my wife's face, but I really enjoy their artwork. So those are kind of like for me at least the first two names that come to mind.
I got nothing to add.
Yeah, nothing to add. I mean, I know you agree with me.
Yeah,
we talk about Beth's work a lot. So I think before we wrap up the show, we were talking, and you said that you had a Flair project that would be suitable for families that you would be willing to share on the show.
Yeah, sure. I have a couple that I've made already that are great for kids. And if I made a collage for a Wonder Woman, like out of a Wonder Woman comic book, and that would be easy to do with a kid,
sure,
especially age 5 or more. One of my videos, I actually have Owen, my oldest son, helping me. We made a potion, a health potion for One Deck Dungeon. But one thing that I've really been wanting to do, and I've been searching like Goodwills for like a large dinosaur, like a large Brontosaurus, not just like a smaller one. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be awesome to just sit down with my kids, give them that Brontosaurus, and give them the box cover for Evolution.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
the
sure.
beginning especially,
yep.
and
yep.
just have them try to recreate the dinosaur on the box cover for that, and just see how it turns out, because for kids it's easy, it's better to try things that don't have to be so precise, or especially not like cutting stuff with power tools, but but stuff like that that's random, and the randomness brings out the awesomeness, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm just trying to find the right dinosaur at like a Goodwill or Walmart or whatever for them to do that for.
Cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that is going to basically wrap it up for us this week. Thank you, Jay, so much for coming on the show and talking about what you do with 15 Pieces of Flair. I think it's a really cool kind of side thing to carry along with a board game hobby.
Yeah,
I think so too. I think it's not most important for somebody to have game art hung up around their house or whatever, but it definitely helps when people come over, they see stuff that you've made or stuff you've bought, and it brings more. It's like going to a football party. I don't watch football or anything, like a Super Bowl thing, but going to somebody's Super Bowl party and they don't have any football decorations up or anything like that, I feel like it just brings more to the experience if you have art to go along with it.
Yeah, it's like an ambiance thing or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, awesome. We mentioned your Etsy site and stuff like that. Where can people find you online, on social media, or do you have a website, or you just send people to your Etsy thing? I know you're on YouTube too.
Well, first you can just come to my house. My address is... No, I'm on Facebook and YouTube. Both of those are Peak Your Interest, P-E-A-K. I've already went over why that's spelled like that. Twitter and Instagram at Half Handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And my Etsy. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Right. And, of course, cool. You can find Jay biweekly on Throat Punch Lunch at Dice Tower, right? So if you just subscribe to that podcast feed, that would work. And then for us, there's lots of ways that you can find us as well. Probably the easiest way these days is on Facebook. That's where we put our live videos, and that's where we try to share the most content.
Yeah.
And that's at facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA. In fact, at FamilyGamersAA is where you can find us in a lot of places.
Yes. On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, at FamilyGamersAA.
Yeah, we came up with something unique enough that we didn't have to come up with a bunch of
with
different
something
ones.
Else.
Yeah, because then we would never remember them. It's not about you. It's about us. So,
sorry, dear listener.
Yeah, right. You can also check out our community. This is a great place for you to share stuff. So if you are inspired by any of Jay's 15 pieces of flair, we would recommend that you take a picture of anything that you've made and post it up on our Facebook community. You can get to it quickly from thefamilygamers.com/community.
Please don't forget to tell your friends about the Family Gamers podcast. Subscribe to it if you have not.
Please.
And leave us a review wherever you have subscribed, whether that's Apple Podcast or Stitcher or wherever else.
Absolutely. We would like to thank our sponsor of this year's podcast. Our sponsor is Wild East Games. You can head over to wildeastgames.com to see all the stuff that they have made. There's a new game that I can't remember the name of right now that is debuting at PAX East.
Oh, the Unfriend Maker.
Yeah, that's the that's the tagline. It's like Slapdown? That sounds right.
Sounds right.
So you should definitely head over to the Wild East Games booth at PAX East and check that out. There's an outside possibility I'll be there for some small amount of time.
It's possible.
Right. So, Anyway, so thank you very much to Wild East Games. They've been just an awesome partner for the show. So
yes.
We really, really appreciate that. And just like Jay, we are proud members of the Dice Tower Network. So head over to the dicetower.com to see all of the crazy stuff that Tom Vassell and his crew are doing.
I think that's it for our show.
All right. So until next week,
play games with your kids.